Monday, October 25th, 2010, episode number 9 of the BucksCast with your hosts Dakota Schmidt and Nate McKeever. And in this week's episode, we have a fantasy basketball preview with Nels from GimmeRock.com. And folks, 2 days away, less than 2 days away from the start of the season. Everybody, can't wait. And guys, fear the deer. Now on to the episode. Hello everybody, welcome to episode number 9 of the BucksCast. Of course, I am your host, Dakota Schmidt, and alongside with me this week is Nick McKeever. Nick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Dakota.
Okay, Nick, on tonight's episode, we are going to have a discussion with Nels from GiveMeTheRock.com to talk a little fantasy hoops, both Bucks wise and NBA wise, and after that, we're gonna do a little Bucks preview. We're gonna answer some burning questions. We're gonna talk about the starting lineup, some role players, some bench warmers, and last but not least, we're gonna give where the Bucks fit in the conference and our final record prediction. So we're gonna go to the fantasy basketball discussion. And then after that, of course, the Bucks team preview. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody, and we are back on the Bucks cast. And it's my pleasure to have on Nels from GiveMeTheRock.com, which is, I would think, the number one fantasy basketball site that it doesn't have to do with ESPN, Yahoo, or CBS. So, Nels, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing quite all right, thank you.
Okay,
Nels. Yeah, I don't know about number one site, but I think definitely I can claim the longest running site.
Longest running site.
We started 2004. I think that was before anybody else that is still going.
Other than, of course, the big guys like ESPN, who have just been doing it as a side project for all these years. But he is going to help us break down the Bucks in a fantasy point of view. And, of course, we're going to go down the most of the roster because, we're probably not going to talk about, Brockman or some other players like that, the bench warmers, because they have literally no fantasy, basketball value. But we're going to start with Andrew Bogut. Of course, Andrew Bogut is back from, the horrific, injury he had last year. And Nels, what is his fantasy value this year?
Well, we have him probably at about a fifth round pick, maybe a little higher than that, since he's actually back and playing now. I think we could probably go fourth round, especially he's eligible at center, which is kind of one of the rarer positions in fantasy. So I mean, the guy when he's healthy is just cranking out double doubles, and as we know right now, he's playing some games in the preseason, so it's definitely a good sign that he's have some value going forward.
Okay. Are you worried about him? Maybe not actually advising people not actually get him because he's kind of injury prone.
I would say that depends more on I guess how you're playing fantasy basketball. If you don't want to take any risk, then yeah, don't take him. But I mean, I feel like, at least to me, like the injury that he had last year was a really freak thing, and it's not something like, it's not like a, like, you know, an ACL that's really gonna keep hurting you, or like, you know, Kobe keeps having to have his knee drained, or, you know, Greg Oden just keeps getting jacked up, but, you know, something like that, I feel like, is not really enough to put him in what I would say is injury prone category. I think it's more, you know, if he gets injured again this season, then I'm more ready to say that. But I think, you know, he played 69 games last season and just kind of suffered a fluke injury. I feel like he's probably pretty solid still.
Okay, for the next hour, we're going to talk about the guy that broke out in the most minds of the fantasy basketball world. People weren't expecting him, you know, to have the fast start like he did, which was, we're talking, of course, about Mr. Brandon Jennings. He did hit the rookie wall, but he kind of, you know, came back a little at the end. Do you think Jennings will suffer a sophomore slump this year?
I don't think so. I think most rookies, and I think Jennings looks like he's probably going to, you know, fit the mold where he's going to, now that he's played a whole season in the NBA, you know, he kind of knows what it's like. He's probably got better conditioning now. I think a lot of people, when they come out of college, you know, they're just not used to playing that many games. I think that's probably what happened to him, but he's definitely got skills where he's going to come through. I think, I think he'll be better than last year. And I think, promising thing with him was when I'm looking at it, was his turnovers, because he had 2.5 turnovers, which for a point guard is not bad, and I think for a rookie point guard especially is pretty good. You know, if he can keep that down, I think we're definitely looking at him having a good season.
Okay, I'm actually watching a stream on the Bucks Timberwolves game right now, which me and Nick will talk about after this on my fantasy basketball preview. But Corey McGetty, one of our new gets is right now he is just getting to the line with ease. He has made 17 free throw misses. I mean, he has made 17 free throw shots. Of course, 17 free throw misses would mean that we'd immediately have to take him out of the state of Wisconsin. But he has gotten to the line, I think it's like 7 or 8 times. So, Corey McGetty, get to the line. Seven or eight times, I don't know. I'm just going off by the box score on my stupid iPhone app, whatever. But Nels, what is McGetty's fantasy value this year?
I mean, I think you nailed it right there. I mean, Corey McGetty is going to make free throws. I had a draft today where I picked him up because I was looking at free throw percentage, and I mean, he's definitely, you know, like you said, he's showing that right now. He's made 17 free throws. Has anybody else even shot 17 free throws? No. Like, what are we looking at? Nobody shoots 17 free throws in a game. So, I mean, Corey McGetty is one of those guys where when you play fantasy basketball, you just kind of have to look at him and you know he's going to give you free throws. And, I mean, there's not too much else there going on, but when he's making that many free throws, you know, he's got points to go along with it. He's getting a point with every free throw. I mean, he's not – for someone you're going to pick up, you know, probably where you're looking at getting him in, like, the 7th or 8th round, you know, he's got decent – he's got a good field goal percentage. He's got a good free throw percentage, obviously. He's a pretty decent rebounder, especially well, I guess he, you know, for like small forward, he's not too bad, and he's got pretty decent steals there. But yeah, the free throw is definitely, if you're looking for someone, that's the way to go.
Okay, and I'm watching again right now, and Carlos Delfino just made a three, and I guess I'll segue to another small forward in Delfino. Of course, what are you gonna talk about this after this fantasy basketball preview about whether or not Delfino or McGetty will start? But I think Nick and me think that Delfino will start. If Delfino does start, what is his value this season?
You know that. There goes the game. It's hard to say if he's starting because I mean we had I think when we were looking at it was we were envisioning that McGetty was going to be the starter there, but yeah if Delfino's starting he's definitely going from like we had him looking at like probably last round of a draft, definitely moving up into like you know eighth ninth round probably just. Kind of the stats he's got. I mean, he's not really great at anything. He's made a lot of three pointers, but beyond that, you know, he's not a great field goal shooter. He doesn't have the kind of free throws that McGetty has, and his other numbers are just kind of okay. And it's one of those situations where you got. You know, two guys or even three guys, if you're counting Salmons now, where you're looking at, like, you know, how much time are these guys actually going to play? Especially, no offense, but I've seen Scott Skiles throw out some really weird lineups. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say who's really going to be playing at that point. But I think definitely Delfino and McGetty are both guys to look at probably like seventh, eighth, ninth round in your draft.
Yeah. You're talking about Scott Skiles' weird rotations. I was just, you know, bored one day this week. I was watching the Brandon Jennings 55-point game. And I think it was in the third quarter. We saw it Roko Ukric. And on the court at the same time was Jennings, Ukric, and Rednauer. So Skiles, you know, likes to play around with the rotation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's another reason, you know, I'm not sure about the when you have Corey McGetty, John Salmons, and Carlos Delfino all kind of like taller shooting guards, small forwards. It's kind of hard to say because I know when Skiles was in Chicago, he did the same kind of thing like you were just saying where he would throw out three of the like pretty much point guards. So I don't know if he can actually manage that with the team that Milwaukee has right now. But yeah, so it's kind of hard to say who he's going to be playing where for how many minutes.
Okay, next player that we should talk about is John Salmons. Of course, Nels is a big time Bulls fan, and before the actual recording, he said, "You know what? Watch out for John Salmons this year." Nels, tell us why we should watch out for John Salmons, maybe in a negative way.
Well, yeah, as you said, I'm a Bulls fan, and so I have seen, as you saw in Milwaukee last season, John Salmons play 30 games and play awesome, and then start the next season and play the opposite of awesome. And so I kind of, you know, it's almost too close to what happened with the Bulls for me to like think that Salmons could actually continue playing the way he had. It's eerily reminiscent the way he started out with the Bulls and went from, you know, shooting in like high 40s to low 40s. His free throw percentage went down. Basically, all his stats were down across the board. So, you know, and then once again, you're looking at with Carlos Delfino, if he's starting, and then if you got Corey McGetty in there taking some minutes too, it's going to make it kind of hard for Salmons. So, yeah, I don't know where his head is at. It's hard to say.
Nate, do you have anything to say? Nick?
Too into the game.
Yes. I was going to say the difference I'll say about Salmons with the Bulls last year and the Bucks this year is the Bucks probably don't need Salmons they don't need to depend on him to score as much this year as the Bulls did probably last year to begin the season. Because I'll be fine if he just averages 12, 13 points this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean that's fine as, you know, when you're looking as a Bucks fan, if that's what you want out of him. But if you're talking about like fantasy basketball, Then you got to look at that. If he's,
yeah,
you know, is he going to be scoring 20 points or is he going to be scoring 12 points? And that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Oh, I'll be the first to say he won't get near 20 every night. Maybe some nights, I would think.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. You never know.
Who do you have as a sleeper that we should watch out for on this Bucks team?
As far as the Bucks go, I'm not sure. I'm liking. I mean, someone you could look at definitely. I mean, I wouldn't say this is someone you're gonna draft when it comes to, you know, the draft if you're doing this weekend or, you know, whatever. But I think definitely Larry Sanders actually is someone as a big man, you know, that you can look at, who might give you some like big man rebounds, blocks, that kind of stuff, coming through for you there. You know, he's probably someone, especially since he's up in Milwaukee, where, you know, it's a little bit of a smaller market and he probably doesn't have name recognition, that kind of stuff. So he's going to be probably not on a lot of people's radar if you want to keep an eye on him.
What about Chris Douglas Roberts?
It's hard to say because, I mean, he's been playing pretty well, you know, like we were talking about before the recording here. He's been playing pretty well in the preseason, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like I've been saying, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but, like, you know, he's got to be competing there with Salmons, Delfino, Corey Maggette for that same kind of, like, shooting guard, small forward position a little bit. It's hard to say. I mean, he's one I definitely would not be drafting in the draft, but, you know, you could probably keep an eye on him and see if he starts making the rotation and getting minutes. You know, he's a good player. He's got talent, so, you know, he could do something.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, Chris Douglas Roberts maybe like a, you know, waiver, you know, picking up a CDR off waivers, you know, if Salmons does get hurt, because, you know, a CDR is athletic, you know, he can, you know, get to the line like Maggette, you know, not as good, of course, you know, as Maggette as, you know, getting to the line, but he's, you know, a good player, he can score points, and if Salmons does get hurt, then, you know, I think you should take a, you know, look out for him, CDR, but right now, personally, I think that, you know, just look away from CDR at the moment.
Yep.
We're gonna now go to some general NBA fantasy basketball talk, and we're gonna hit you with the big one. There's been some argument about who is number one in fantasy basketball. Is it LeBron or Durant? Niles, what do you think?
Or Kobe?
Yeah.
Well, I know someone who might argue with Kobe. I had someone in the draft today take Kobe at number two. I mean, I don't think there's any argument. I think it's Durant. I mean, I think he's just out of his mind with scoring and free throws and his field goal percentage for the amount of points that he's putting up. You know, and then he's just got numbers that he's putting up everywhere. I think the only thing he's not really good at is assists, but, I mean, when he's got that much other stuff, it's hard to put him lower than number one, especially when, you know, you're looking at LeBron James now playing with Wade and Bosch in there. You know, his numbers are going to take at least a little bit of a hit. You know, he's not going to be the only guy on the team anymore. So I think I would still say, you know, James's numbers are above everyone else in terms of fantasy basketball. So I'd still say he's a definite number two pick, but I think I would still, and actually I did in the draft today that I just did. I had the number one pick, so I went with Kevin Durant there.
Yeah, and I actually agree because of course LeBron is surrounded by a bunch of talent, you know, D-Wade and Bosh. But the thing that you can argue with LeBron about is the fact that he is going, you know, he's going for averaging, you know, a triple-double per season. In the season.
I mean, he might be. But I don't know. The fact that he went to Miami kind of tells me like what his motivation is, and it's more like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like he has like the heart or the stomach for it, you know, to try, you know, he like maybe he thinks he wants to do that, but when it comes to actually doing it, I think it's kind of like winning a championship in Cleveland. It's like he thinks he wants to do it, but and when it comes down to it, he'd rather just like you know, have fun, go to Miami, win a championship there, not, you know, not do the hard way, you know.
Let's talk about rookies now. Which rookie do you think will make the biggest impact? Of course, you have John Wall, you know, Evan Turner, who's out there? Who do you think is gonna make the biggest impact? I think I know who you're gonna say, but just say it.
Yeah, I think you can probably guess. I mean, I think everybody thinks John Wall is the pick there. Yeah, I think Evan Turner's probably going to be pretty good. But I think you got a couple things. Evan Turner is also playing with Iguodala, and I think with Jrue Holiday, he's just kind of got a more talented team around him. So that, I mean, that might, you know, hurt him a little bit there, and I think he's just not going to be, he's not the kind of player who's going to be have as much of an impact in his first season, whereas I think Wall is coming into a pretty good situation for him, where he can kind of just do whatever he wants, you know, take the ball to the hole, and then he's got some pretty decent people to pass to for assists, and so, but not like people who demand the ball a lot. So I think he's in a good situation there.
Which rookie do you think has the possibility of making, you know, a Jennings like impact, you know, just surprising a bunch of people this year?
That's a good question. I'm usually not too big on like rookies in general. Just 'cause I like, you know, to have a little bit of history with players. I don't think, I mean, you know, when you're looking at, you got John Wall and you got Evan Turner, right away. You know, I think both of them people are kind of expecting to be good. I think, you know, if I had to pick, I'd say probably DeMarcus Cousins would be the next guy that I would say is going to be a rookie who has, you know, some kind of impact. I don't think anybody is nobody to me is really fitting in kind of the Brandon Jennings category where they're just going to come from out of nowhere and put up a lot of big numbers. I think, I don't know, it seems like the rookies this year are a lot more like you kind of know what you're getting from them. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? So, yeah.
You think there's anybody out there that can, you know, surprise some people?
I mean, if I had to say, like I said, I think, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is kind of far down enough when you're looking at him that you know, picking him up for like a fantasy basketball team could probably be something with pretty good upside.
Nick, you have anything to ask?
No, you covered mainly everything
Okay,
on the
let's go
Bucks
to some
roster.
sleepers and busts in fantasy basketball. And right now I am on your site, give me the rock.com. But for you know Bucks fans, you know, who are on the go and listening to it, the show and the app or whatever, what are some sleepers in fantasy hoops?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we have a page. It's actually called Breakout Players. Because we had some discussion a while back about the difference between breakout players and sleepers. But anyway, I won't get into that right now. Basically, these are the sleeper picks we have. I mean, you look at Darren Collison, who went to Indiana now, and Anthony Randolph, who's in New York. I think both of those guys are kind of on a lot of people's radars just because they had pretty good seasons last year. But I think they're still kind of like, you know, maybe some people have some doubts or, you know, you're not really sure what you're going to get from them. I think that there's enough people who are kind of down on them that you might be able to sneak them in there. But after those guys, I think we really get to like guys like you got Jrue Holiday, DJ Augustin. I think Marco Bellinelli is a good one just because, you know, he's kind of battling with Marcus Thornton, but he's looking like he's going to be the winner of that one right now. One of the guys that I like a lot is Nicholas Batum from the from the Blazers, just because he seems like he can kind of do a lot of everything. He's got, you know, he's got for fantasy basketball, he's got good percentages, and he gives you just kind of a little bit of rebounds, a little bit of steals, a little bit of blocks. So he's kind of just doing everything there for you. I'm not sure, you know, when we're looking at Linus Klaza, I don't know if that's how you pronounce that, but you know, he kind of had he's kind of coming into the, you know, Toronto now, where he can I think fill a need for them, because he definitely has a scoring ability. I know he had some game where he can score, you know, score a lot. He's a good 3-point shooter for a big man, for a small forward. I guess other guys that I want to point out, let's see, is JaVale McGee, I guess, because I, with the Wizards, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm not that big on Andre Blatch, because I know he's good, but I feel like there's a definite opportunity for McGee there, because he's the kind of guy who can come in, and at least for fantasy basketball, he'll give you some big stats in some categories like blocks and rebounds, where, you know, he's not going to do, you know, a lot. He's not going to give you, you know, huge numbers outside of that. But when he does, you know, he's going to help you, you know, kind of win those categories. And then if you want to get down to, I guess this is like the very bottom of the list. I know one of the other guys, I'm not really feeling it, but I know one of the other guys on the site now is likes Jeff Teague a lot, and the Atlanta Hawks. And then someone I think I can get behind more is J.J. Hickson, who I'm not sure if he's going to start now. I think I saw something that said he's going to start, but then I saw something that said, no, he's not going to start. But I think no matter what, you know, you're looking at him, and I think Anderson Varejao for the Cavaliers now, I think they definitely have opportunities to be like the power forward center guys who are getting the blocks and rebounds there. So I definitely take a look at those two guys.
Okay. What about you were talking to me before the actual interview started, and you mentioned a guy in Austin Day. Austin Day, of course, should be starting at the small forward position, because because John Sharapko was gonna be out for a season. I think he was. Was Sharapko at the power forward position?
I'm not. I mean, I think he's kind of a power forward, small forward, but yeah, he's definitely out for a long time. And I think there's a couple guys. I think when you're looking at the Pistons, like Greg Monroe is probably another one.
Okay.
One of the big guys who's going to be up there. But yeah, if you look at their roster, I think Jerebko was kind of more of a little bit more of a small forward, just because of the way he was playing with, like maybe taking some more 3-pointers, you know, kind of being more of an outside guy. And so I think, like I said, there's Greg Monroe, who's kind of the big guy in the middle, can play some of those minutes. But yeah, Austin Day, I'm not sure. I don't know. One of the other guys on Give Me the Rock told me to say that, because he just picked him up in like two. Or three leagues, so he thinks he's going to be awesome. Yeah, I mean he's got some talent, because he's, you know, in limited time he was doing pretty good, you know, in terms of 3-pointers, rebounds. So if he can get more minutes, if he can get like Jerebko's minutes and get in there, then I think he could.
Okay,
now
let's move on to the negative side. Fantasy basketball and the busts, or the busts are guys that everybody, I guess, there's like in fantasy sports, there's always a certain guy that's a bust. So I guess there's some players that should, you know, switch from, you know, being a bust to just don't draft. But you know what? Who is a bust? Who are some busts in fantasy basketball this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, I guess, the way I think about it is, like, people would be just being drafted too high, you know, like, because, you know, you could draft someone really, if you're drafting someone really low, then they might not be a bust, because if you draft them, like, you know, at 100, you know, then they don't have to be that good. But, I mean, the guys I would think compared to where they're being drafted right now, I think definitely Stephen Curry and the Warriors, because he's going. I looked at Yahoo and he's going at like number 9. And I've been telling people that, you know, like I know a lot of people who kind of think they know like fantasy basketball are like, oh yeah, he's going to be awesome. But, you know, you're looking at a guy who was playing for the Warriors with Don Nelson, who had like 5 extra possessions a game. So that's like 5 extra shots that you can throw up there for Stephen Curry, because basically last year they had, you know, for a bunch of those games, they were throwing out 7-man rotations, where when you're playing that many minutes and you're only playing that many guys, you know, obviously someone has to shoot the ball a lot. And I think that guy, you know, was Stephen Curry. And so I just don't think there's any way that he's going to have like that kind of fantasy magic again to be in that kind of situation. So I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed with picking him that high. I guess the other guy I was looking at, and like I was saying, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, but I think a lot of people are thinking that Derrick Rose is going to be a lot better than he is. You know, I saw reports where like, oh, he's been practicing his 3-pointer. He's going to start making threes now. But, you know, I just don't believe it. I mean, I think especially when Carlos Boozer gets back, they're going to be running a lot of pick and roll. He's going to be driving the lane. He's not going to be shooting threes. You know, his scoring is probably going to be down a little bit too, because he's going to be passing the ball more. He's got good assists, so that's fine. But I mean, in terms of, I think what people expect from him, I think a lot of, you know, I think people are kind of thinking that he's going to be better than he is. Those are really like the only two guys that I could pick out that are like, I think really above, you know, kind of where they should be. There's probably some more on there, but I don't really look for busts. I try to look more just like, you know, for the sleeper guys and guys that you can pick up that are going to be value and or else just look for like solid picks, guys who are going to be, you know, playing games and putting up numbers. So that's the kind of stuff I look for.
So basically just avoid some guys that you have on your injury prone list, or just avoid list, or whatever. Name some players that you have on your just avoid at all costs.
All right. Well, I mean, the obvious one, and I don't think he's even on anybody's list, but this is one I can remember off the top of my head, is Tracy McGrady, because, you know, he thinks he's going to come back, but he's not. But let's see. I would say, and I'm trying to bring up this list, but it's not coming. I would say, I mean, in terms of guys that I wouldn't draft, I'm not going with Manu Ginobili, but that's just, I don't know if that's more of a personal thing, just because I feel like he never really, like, you know, I guess maybe he could fit into that bust category in terms of where he's being drafted versus like what he's producing. I guess I don't feel like he's producing that much, but I guess other guys I would stay away from, like Greg Oden, you know, if you're comparing, you want to compare, we were talking earlier about how Andrew Bogut is injury prone. I don't think Andrew Bogut is injury prone compared to Greg Oden, you know, because that dude, like, I don't think he's even played a game. I guess if we're just running down the list, I guess we have guys like Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know about that. I would consider him. I wouldn't draft him, you know, in a draft, but I would keep an eye on him because, you know, especially if any of the Celtics big men get injured, you know, if he can rest and then play a few games, you know, he can put up 20 and 10 for like 5 games and then go back to the bench. So that's something you want to look for. You know, in fantasy is like, you know, you can pick him up and then put him back down. Definitely Tyson Chandler, Darko Milicic. I think a lot of people are thinking somehow Darko is going to come up with something magic in Minnesota, but I don't see how that's going to happen.
Darko we're talking about. This is Darko Milicic. The one of the biggest busts of the 21st century.
Yeah, when you look at that draft and you look at the people that were drafting around him, it's kind of amazing. I mean, he's playing right now, and they're playing the Bucks, you know, and he's got 12 points and 8 rebounds. All right, I guess that's not that bad, but
especially on a guy like Bogut.
But yeah, I mean, that's Bogut is putting up. you know, a lot better numbers than that. But anyway,
of course.
I know a lot of people, I think, are staying away from Danny Granger just because, you know, he's one of those guys who's going to get taken high probably in the first round because he's got talent, but he's kind of he's got the injury history where you got to be a little careful. I've actually picked up Andrew Bynum in one of my leagues, but I know he's another one that I think people are thinking might be injury prone just because, well, he's been injured a lot. And then you got the I think kind of the usual list almost. I would call the rest of these guys like Kirilenko just because he gets injured all the time. But, you know, when he plays, he's awesome. Marcus Camby, who's actually kind of almost coming back from being injury prone where he's playing games.
I think he's the most reliable reliable center on that team.
Well, yeah, on that team, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Uh-huh. With Bruce Bella and Odin, two really, you know, injury prone centers.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at Camby almost as like a sleeper pick just cuz, you know, if you got Odin who's probably just going to get injured cuz that's what happens. Then you can take Camby, and his numbers are kind of amazing when you look at him, just the amount of rebounds and blocks that he puts up. I think that's probably about it. I'm looking down this list. I mean, obviously Michael Redd, sorry, Bucks fans, but I think he's...
Nick likes it though. Nick likes it. Avoid a Michael Redd in every single league. If you know how to delete him from your draft list or whatever, do that.
Yeah, just exclude him from your pre-rankings. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Yahoo probably has him down far enough that you're not going to end up with him, even if you're like auto-picking their defaults. But I think that pretty much covers it. Just those kind of general guys. But yeah, so.
Okay, Nick, do you have anything to say?
No, looks like he covered most of the NBA.
Okay, yeah.
That's what we're trying to do here.
Nels, do you have anything to say?
No, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, in terms of busts, I try to stay away from that. I just like to look for solid picks. Picking in fantasy basketball. And I mean, if you want to look at gimmetherock.com, we have also in our draft guide, the players broken down by position with lots of crazy colors going on. So you can kind of tell which groups of guys go together. Might be a little bit helpful if you want to print that out before a draft, but, yeah.
Of course, it's time to get the plugs out of the way before we wrap this up.
Right. I think I got it there actually in that last one. But yeah, I can say it again, gimmetherock.com. So yeah, check it out. If you need some advice, we post every day during the season. Kind of let you know who's coming up. You know, any injuries, any trades, anything like that. We got posts with fantasy implications. So, definitely stop by, subscribe, whatever.
Okay, you have like a Twitter plug or?
Twitter is just Give Me the Rock, so you can check that out.
Okay.
Mostly just retweet a lot of stuff I find on Twitter, but I have a bunch of fantasy basketball people that I follow on Twitter too. So if you follow Give Me the Rock, you get a lot of the stuff that I think is good from those people.
Okay, thanks, Nels, for coming on the show. Of course, the website is gimmetherock.com. Of course, that is gimmetherock.com. Everybody, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's time to preview the Milwaukee Bucks. For my people in the front, in the noise blade section. For the heads
shots, robbing the mix. My people in the front, confidence bed. Batters in the box, top of the pitch. Hilltop hoods, up in this bitch. And we're the funk leaders, punks you can't beat us. We bump and pump meters, the drunk you chumps meet us. So jump with us, down the front, give us a flavor. Your flavor, can't get drunk with us. This
life turned out like a first. From the tip-off of the Bucks game where we go against the New Orleans Hornets. Well, right now we're going to have a little Bucks team preview. It's really not exactly a team preview since we're less than, 48 hours away. But let's just, talk about the Bucks in general. First off, of course, let's talk about the starting five. My starting five is Jennings, Salmons. I'm actually gonna put Delfino in front of Corey Maggette. I'm gonna have Corey Maggette as the sixth man, but I have Delfino as small forward, and Gooden, a power, and Bogut at center. Nick, do you have any objections to that or?
No, that's what I predicted also.
All right. Do you think that Maggette fits more, in a six man role than starting?
Yes, I do actually.
Cause really,
I feel if he was in a starting lineup, he'll probably be a little log jam on the offensive end, because you will have Salmons, Jennings, Bogut, and then if you put Maggette with all that, someone's touches would be limited. But if you have Maggette coming off the bench, getting to the line, and he'll just give you instant offense, which they lacked and since probably Tim Thomas and Mike Red when he was a sixth man. So I see him fitting more in the sixth man role, and I hope he could accept that role and thrive on it, because I think this team will be really successful with him being the sixth man.
Okay, Alma, you're talking about log jams. Another log jam that I see on this team is at the power forward position. Of course, like I said before, we have Gooden, we have Ersan, Luke Richardmamu can play some power forward. We have John Brockman. Who else we have? Ersan, Sanders, Mamute, Gooden, Ilyasova, Sanders, Brockman. How exactly do you see scouts, using all these power forwards?
I'm not sure, but it's a good problem to have, actually, with all the... You never can have too many big men, because if we had this problem last year, we probably would have done better in the playoffs than we did. But, yeah, I don't know how he's going to handle this. That's why he's coaching and I'm not, because you would think somebody would not be getting minutes some nights, but you can't sit Luke Richardmamute. He's too valuable on the defensive end, and you have Ersan who was very good last year, should be getting better this year. You can't keep him on the bench with his abilities shooting the three and taking into the hole and rebounding. I mean, you have Brockman, who's probably not going to get minutes every night like you would think, but he's a hard worker who Scott Skiles, I think, likes a lot. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think... Of course, Gooden is going to be starter. Scouts has been saying that since we got Gooden. I kind of see Luke Richardmamute maybe as more of a 3 or 4. I think it depends on who we're playing against. What position, the star player on the other team plays. Like, if we're going against, LeBron or, Danny Grange or something like that, then he goes to the 3. Or maybe... we go against, I don't know, some team that has, a good power forward, then we put him, at the 4 or whatever. But I think with Richardmamute, if he doesn't, boost his, shooting, then he's pretty much going to be just in there for defensive situations. I agree on Brockman. I love Brockman. I love the Brockman monster, but he lacks, you know, skills, you know, offensively and defensively. Of course, he can rebound like nobody's business. He can hustle like nobody's business. And, you know, when we're getting blown out, put Brockman in there, you know, can put some excitement, you know, back in the team if they're, you know, if they're struggling. Sanders, I really like Sanders. I really like what I've seen of him, you know, in the preseason and in summer league. He has more, you know, offense than I thought that he would. But of course, he's great defensively, and he and his skills are gonna boost, you know, every single month, you know, pretty much. Right, Nick?
Yeah, I agree. And you're also probably Gooden and Saunders are probably going to rotate backing up Bogut also. So, like I said, it's a good problem to have for the Bucks. Could never have too many big men on the bench.
Okay, this question has been going around. We're going to keep on the big man topic. Who is the main backup for Andrew Bogut?
I don't know. It's, everything I'm hearing, it's they say it's Drew Gooden, even though he's going to be starting at power forward, but he's going to be the main backup. He's probably going to back up Bogut when he goes to the bench, and they'll put in either Bamute or Ersan at the four. They'll just slide Gooden at the five. And I guess they'll work it that way. And Saunders can play the five also, so.
I think Saunders is kind of like not, you know, strong enough, you know, to
right.
play with the other centers, because the East has you know, a wide variety of big centers. Of course, we have Dwight Howard, who's just a beast physically. Of course, we have Shaq. Of course, Brook Lopez. You know, don't laugh at Shaq. I think he can have a nice season in he can have a decent season in Boston. And you know, using the size, he could just, you know, still overpower most centers. You know, I don't know. Nick is kind of chatting in the Skype chat here, but I think Shaq is still kind of a beast. I know he's like, what, 37 or 38 or whatever, but I think he, you know, he's not a top 10 center anymore, but with his size and with his strength, he can still, you know, out-muscle most centers in the league. Nick?
Yeah, I agree. I still respect Shaq's abilities very much, so. He's not the offensive dominant threat as he once was, yeah. But he's still a valuable big man in the NBA who could throw you. He could still give players like Bogut problems if, like, a banger on the defense end. So,
yeah, most definitely. Shaq is never gonna be, you know, 80% or 70% of what he was, you know, back in those championship days with Kobe. And with Phil Jackson in LA, but Shaq is still, you know, very, you know, big. Can, you know, like I said before, out muscle everybody, both on the offensive and defensive boards. But we're gonna move on to the shooting guard position. Right now we have John Salomon starting. You heard the Nels from GivingTheRock.com say, you know what? You better watch out for John Salomon. Of course, John Salomon did get his big contract, and you know what? Maybe he won't be as productive as he was, you know, last season with Milwaukee. If he isn't as productive as he was last year, do you think there's a chance that CDR will take some of his minutes?
Yeah, it's possible, you know. Skiles is that type of coach. If you're not going to produce that, he's going to find someone who can, no matter who you are. So that's always a possibility. And if CDR shows that he's playing better than him, then that's always a possibility. No one's guaranteed minutes on this team. If you're playing bad, Skiles will show you way to the bench.
And CDR, you know, has been not doing good. I guess he did good now that the preseason is over, but he did get in preseason, you know. Looking at his Twitter, you know, he's having a lot of fun in Milwaukee. He's loving a lot, you know. And he's just gonna, now that he has a team that, you know, will succeed, unlike that Nets team last year, CDR will get about, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes per game sometimes. You know, I think some games he'll play a lot, and some games he won't play at all, depending on how Jeremy Thomas is doing in that game. But I really do like CDR. He needs to improve on his shooting. But like Migatti, he has the ability to get to the line. Of course, he's not as good as Corey Migatti and, you know, that skill of getting to the line. But he's, you know, very athletic. You know, in Memphis, he did have the nickname of Buckets. Because of the fact that he did get a lot of buckets in Memphis, maybe he'll carry that over in Milwaukee. Nick.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. He played very well in his last preseason game and the game before that. So, yeah, he has all the abilities. He does need to improve on his outside shooting. But other than that, he's very inspired to play with the Bucks. And I like his attitude, what he brings to the table. So I'm very excited to see what he does with the Bucks team this year. Actually, I think when we traded for him, I always thought he'll be the piece that no one's talking about that's going to be the X factor of them probably winning 50 games.
Okay, I guess it's time to move on to how the Bucks compare. How the Bucks should do in the Eastern Conference. Nick, go first. How do you think the Bucks will do in the Eastern Conference here? Like, what are they going to be ranked? You know, because last year we were, you know, sixth in the East. Do you think that will improve or, you know, get worse or what?
Well, I see them being better, obviously, and obviously, you have them winning the Central. It's not going to be easy. I'm not discounting the Bulls, but I think we're a much deeper team. And I see them winning the division and being the fourth seed in the playoffs, because I still put the Heat, Boston, and the Magic ahead of them. So I see them finishing the fourth seed, have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and we'll see what happens.
So, how do you think that the Bucks are better than Chicago?
They just are. Come on, Chicago Bulls. I mean, come on.
You know, really? Like, I agree with you, but we host a podcast. We have to have some more discussion about this.
Well, I just think that the bench is just the X factor over the Bucks, over the Bulls. I mean, the starting five, you have Derrick Rose. I guess it's a little better than Jennings, and I mean, you have Carlos Boozer, which he's been good over his career, give you 20 and 10 every night, but I just don't see him making that big of a difference. And he's already hurt, so I see them having injury problems. So, and if you look at the benches, the Bucks are just way much more deeper than the Bulls from the sixth man to all the way to the 13th man. The Bucks are just better. And that's not counting Mike Redd, even though I'm not going to discuss that part.
Okay.
They're just better. I don't know what else.
So, yeah, was that fourth?
Yeah, everyone else has the Bulls winning the division, but I think they're just focusing on Rose and Boozer and not focusing on the big picture of the full roster of both teams.
Yeah, I really don't see much of that either. I think we do have a better team than Bulls. I can argue about this topic until the end of time, but we do have a deeper team than the Bulls, of course. You know, Rose is better than Brandon Jennings, but looking at the depth charts of the Bulls right now via ESPN.com, you know, I think that Salmons is better than Ryan Brewer. You know, the combination of Delfino and Magetti, of course, are better than the combination of Luol Deng and James Johnson. I do like Boozer, of course, over Gooden by lots, but of course, at that power forward position, we have a crap ton of depth. Like we said before, with Ersan, Luke Richemabute, and Larry Sanders, and Andrew Bogut, better than Joakim Noah.
And I just want to add that I'm not trying to be a Bulls hater, but even though they have Derrick Rose, but the past couple of years, even though they made the playoffs, they barely made the playoffs each year, and they were 41-41 last year and the year before that. Didn't they make the playoffs below 500? So I don't see how Carlos Boozer makes that, puts them over the top that quickly. I just don't understand. Whatever.
All right, you have it fourth. Let's just say that the Celtics are third behind the Heat and the Magic. There's no way you think that the Bucks are gonna overtake the Celtics.
I mean, they have a chance. I mean, the Celtics only won 50 games last year, and they got on a hot run in the playoffs. And they're a little older, even though they still are the third best team in the East right now. But well, you just got to play out the season. If they're close in the records in March and April, then we'll see. It'll be a close battle. It would be good for the Bucks to be the third seed. I'll be happy for sure.
But, how do you see the Bucks win wise?
Wins?
Yes.
I'm expecting personally 50 at minimum 50 wins. I don't think that's asking too much. I think the Bucks players are expecting that too. So you won 46 last year, and you add all this depth to the team. It's no reason why you shouldn't win 50 games at least.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's some people out there say the Bucks are gonna be worse. Like who was that on ESPN that said we were gonna be seventh in the?
I don't know. Somebody ignorant.
Yeah, somebody ignorant.
yes. I can't remember, but was it Rick Bucher?
I think it was Rick Bucher.
You know. He picked Luke Richemabute to be the defensive player of the year. Yes.
Yeah, but I guess he's trying to make Bucks fans happy by saying that. Even though he said that the Bucks would be seventh, you know, behind teams like...
I'm going to confirm that.
You are? It is Rick Bucher?
I'm going to check. You can still talk.
Okay, but I don't know how... I don't know how we don't finish above... at or above fourth. Don't talk about the Hawks. The Hawks, they're just blah. That's all I can say about the Hawks is blah. Joe Johnson, good, but he has this huge contract. You know, who knows how he's gonna, you know, how his effort is gonna be this year with his, you know, big ass contract that he has. You know, Josh Smith, you know, not sure about him. I really do like Al Horford. You know, I wish that he would be in a Bucks uniform right now. You know, of course that Hammond did have to get Joe Alexander before Horford, but whatever. I'm gonna get go out there top for a while.
Oh, it wasn't Rick Bucher.
Was it?
Oh, it was Tim Legler, whatever stupid.
Tim Legler.
Yeah.
Like, how can we finish seventh? What's the reasoning behind that? What does he say?
What does he say? I'm not sure what Brennan Jennings is going to be. He caught everyone by surprise in the beginning of last season, but then his numbers began to fall off. He has to find a way to make other people better. He's a young guard. He'll figure it out.
Of course,
so his reasons is Brennan Jennings is overrated? Is that what he's...
Of course, don't talk about the depth. Don't talk about the depth we have. I don't want to sound like I'm whining or anything, but he's not talking about our depth, or I don't think he mentioned the fact that, you know, Bogut is healthy. He hasn't mentioned the fact that, you know, McGetty is our sixth man, and McGetty is probably a top five sixth man, you know, in the NBA. He's just, you know, bringing up, you know, Brandon Jennings, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he did say he'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. Why are we seventh? I think he has more reasoning behind that. Of course, we want him on the show. Well, of course, he's too big. He's, you know, a big hoity-toity, you know, ESPN, you know, analysis. I don't know where he came from. Did he play in the NBA, or was he coach?
Yeah, he
or...
played for Golden State back in the day.
Okay, well, that's I guess anybody that plays in the NBA is experts, you know. David Jones apparently is an expert. Of course, he's with NBA TV.
I don't try to get caught up in predictions from like ESPN or NBA.com, because at the end of the day, they have to play the games, and they're just predictions are just going to get me mad for no reason. I have no reason to get mad, so just got to watch the game and just look them like the idiots.
But it's kind of a fun thing, you know, to pass the time until the season.
Yeah, I know. I still look.
You still look.
I'm just trying to give everyone else reasons not to get mad.
So, like, why does Chad Ford think we're going to be sixth?
Well, it's better than sixth.
It's better than seventh. Like, why? You know?
Yeah, so better than seventh.
Give it up to Chris Sheridan, you know? I'm not saying that, you know, I love you that you're an expert just because they say that the Bucks are going to be on top. But I do think the Bucks are going to be on top. Like I said before, I can argue for hours. Guys, if you do want to argue me about this, about the Bucks or the Bulls discussion, you can tweet me. My Twitter is Dakota_Schmidt. That is DAKOTA_SCH. MIDT, if you don't have Twitter, but you want to email your Bulls versus Bucks argument, you can email me, buckscast@gmail.com. Again, that is buckscast@gmail.com. Nick, do you have anything, Bug?
You could follow me on Twitter at Black MacGyver. That's the name. Twitter.com/BlackMacGyver, like the TV show. Black MacGyver, like always. And I would like to apologize to Rick Bucher. We got our info wrong at first, but
yeah,
didn't mean to bash him for a little bit.
I guess Rick Bucher is on our side.
Yes, he didn't even get a vote for predictions in the East, so.
But he did say that Luke Richard Mamute is going to be the defensive player of the year, which I'm not sure about, but you know what? I like you know, seeing the big time ESPN guys, you know, give props to the Bucks. So, Nick, do you have anything to say before we stop recording?
No, just I can't wait for the season to start. It starts in a couple of days, so.
Starts in less than 48 hours.
Yeah. We can finally discuss some real basketball and not tape, just paper.
Hey, and I'm looking, hey, let's talk a little bit more. We have the plugs in there. Let's talk a little more. I'm on ESPN.com right now. Chris Sheridan. For sixth man in here, Chris Sheridan has Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't really.
Really? Ersan Ilyasova? No Corey Maggette or anything? I love that you're giving
walk. Yeah, maybe they assume Maggette's going to be a starter.
But I guess we're rambling a little bit, guys. We're going to see you, I guess, Wednesday. But I'm not sure, you know, because of all... You know what? Just every day, look on iTunes and see if there's a new episode of Bugcast. We're not going to give you an exact date, but we try for every Wednesday. Hopefully every Wednesday. Probably not this week, because, of course, the first game against the Hornets is on Wednesday. But, guys, check iTunes every day. We're not going to give you an exact date, because Nick has stuff to do, I have stuff to do, so... Just look on iTunes every day, but we try to... What?
Check our Twitter.
Or you can check our Twitter, you know? I post a link every time the show was up on Podomatic, and 45 minutes later, it's probably up on iTunes. So, yeah. Guys, move on, you know? This is the end of the podcast, guys, and we'll see you next episode to talk about some regular season games. So, guys... We'll see you next week. In fear, the deer.